Hello and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoons, the weekly podcast that revisits, reviews, and ridicules some of the world's weirdest animated series. I'll be your host, Dave Trumbore. I'm not drunk yet, but I will get there eventually.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I just realized as I'm like half deep into this pint glass that I did not come up with a respective intro for tonight, which actually works perfectly.
It does. Yeah. It really does.
And why is that, Sean?
Ooh, David, because, well, first and foremost, David, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good, buddy, as I think you can tell. How about yourself?
Well, I'm doing well, thank you. Yeah. This episode is fantastic because it is going to be part one of a two-part series where we're just going to simply talk about public service announcements.
Yeah, and specifically public service announcements, or PSAs for those in the know. Right. About what?
Drugs and alcohol.
Ooh, very fitting.
And we've got some other taboo subjects that are going to be thrown in there along the way. Thankfully, we have Laura Barber, who is joining us again. So thank you, Laura, for coming back on the show.
Yes, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Sean. I hope as we continue drinking this evening, this show becomes a meta-commentary on PSAs about drug and alcohol abuse.
Oh, boy.
I am so looking forward to this one because we have been talking about this kind of like since day one. And honestly, we're about a year into this, which is crazy to even think of.
I know.
We started it around this time last year. Pretty much from day one, I mean, look, the fact that we watched the first episodes if we ever watched were trippier than anything you can probably get in illicit drugs. Now, I don't know. I don't have a lot of experience with that, but we have watched some crazy shit. And a lot of it is just as trippy, if not trippier, than anything you could, any pills you could pop, any drugs you could take. So, honestly, to watch these trippy-ass shows, and then at the end to have the cartoon characters look you dead in the eyes and tell you not to do drugs is just one of the most hilarious things in the world to me. So,
David, if you called me one day and were like, Sean, in all seriousness, last night I did some drugs and I turned into a car, my immediate response would be, I'm coming down, I want to know everything about it, where are those drugs?
Yeah, and can I get a ride?
And can I?
Also, what kind of car?
Yeah, exactly. That is an appropriate response.
So actually, Dave, what kind of car do you think you would turn into?
I would 100% turn into the car that I drive every day, which is a Jeep Cherokee. Like, I'm not even going to, it's not even a reach. Just like a rusted up, broken down. Yeah. Just falling apart at the seams.
Keep drinking, Dave.
Just like real inefficient. Just complete mess. But hey, gets the job done.
End of the episode, we're just going to ask the same question to Dave again. He's going to be like, Ferrari!
Ferraris! All the Ferraris.
I'd be a real fast car.
I'd be real fast and like shiny and stuff. Yeah.
Shining.
No, I'm just going to stall out by the end of this episode. Oh, there's my...
Give me a Jamaican bobsled.
Hey man, perseverance, that's what that's all about.
I like that Dave, by the end of the episode, is going to say he's alternate forms of, like, transportation.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be a dash bus.
I love that I'm human-powered transportation. I go from being just a human to being a human-powered vehicle. I like that. I like that quite a bit.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So, for this episode, we watched a smattering of episodes, longer, full-length episodes, that delve into the idea of drug and alcohol abuse,
right.
As well as some of these also these smaller end of episode vignettes that, you know, you would see also as a commercial sometimes.
Right.
I definitely note that there are some that we watch that are just straight up commercials. There are a couple that we watch that are really just sort of that quick snap at the very end of an episode PSA.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I have so many opinions about the things that we are about to talk
about. I'm sure
we
all do.
He's trembling, Dave.
I know,
he's like
with excitement.
A tremble.
With excitement. Not delirium tremens, I don't think. He's got the DTs yet, but...
No, not DTs.
Not DTs yet.
No, just in the bottom of my notes, I just wrote rant.
just colon, rant. Just go for it.
Hot takes coming.
Oh, boy.
Let's go, Dennis Leary. What do you got?
Oh, no. Well, I mean, I want to get into this first show that we watched because I think this... episode, we watched an episode of He-Man, or Masters of the Universe, and it was bananas. It was really,
I have to say this too. Did you guys watch the, like, pseudo-fast-forwarded version of it?
Oh, no.
Oh, you didn't?
No, no.
I followed the links. It was like, so when people post this stuff on YouTube and stuff, they have kind of like a 1.5 speed. So that the voices are really fast and they kind of talk like this and everybody has a high pitched voice. And it just makes
maybe that's why it sounded so bad.
Oh my God, it sounds so freaking trippy, especially when the villain comes in and he's just like, ha 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 ha. He's just got this crazy high, like manic laugh.
I guess I did watch that.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. Okay. And I'll tell you what, I want to watch everything like that from now on, because it's like watching it on drugs and you get it done a lot faster.
That was my comment to Laura was, did I miss something on the voice casting for this? It sounds
like all the chipmunks
different.
Came in.
Yeah, it sounds so weird.
Yeah. And I was like, Adam has like a real Mike Tyson slash David Beckham vocal situation.
It's really disturbing when he like, you know, conjures up his power as He-Man and it's just like this
by the power of Grayskull.
Yeah, it's very strange. Very strange. Like he just sucked on a bunch of helium. But yeah.
Knock it off, YouTube. I don't want to watch anything at 1.5 speed, you dicks.
I loved it. I love 1.5 speed. It was actually really enjoyable. I recommend it to everyone out there. It's a safe alternative to drugs. Mm-hmm. To being on the drugs.
Well, we should start this episode by mentioning that last night I got a text message from you, Dave.
Was I on drugs at the time? I don't remember what. Okay.
I mean, I don't know because it like taken out of context.
Oh yes.
I was very confused.
Yeah.
What you're talking about? I just get a message that it just says, "Elena is hot."
And I stand by that text.
The end.
The end.
I'm disappointed in you.
Oh, are you kidding me?
I'm not at all.
Okay, Elena, who's just like, I'm so weak. I'm so weak and stupid.
Yep.
All right.
So
sold.
Well, to set the
speaking
set
my
the premise,
language.
Getting to know Dave little bit better.
Yeah.
to set the groundwork for this episode, this woman Elena comes with her father to hand over this is transmutation ray.
Yeah. Transmutator.
The transmogrifier.
Which
whatever.
Is really superfluous to this plot.
Right.
Yeah.
And to what you need to know. And so Elena...
She's sleeping
she's,
as they arrive.
Yeah, she is
all you need to know about Elena.
So she gets here and she meets Prince Adam and Tila.
Yeah, her best friend Tila. And like these two know each other. It's not the first time they're meeting. They have the same boob armor. You know, they go to the same blacksmith. That kind of thing.
Exactly.
Go to the same waxer.
Yeah.
You know, girl stuff.
You know, girl stuff. Boob armor and Brazilians.
So they're talking for the first time and she is very impressed by their confidence and how they are acting, and she's really floored and taken away by them to the point where she wishes that she could be as confident as Prince Adam and Tila.
Right.
And this is where the trouble begins because an evil wizard had recently escaped.
Mm-hmm.
Is totally creeping in the bushes on her and thinks to himself, like, oh, I could become an old woman. I could transform into an old woman and give this young lady this
ring.
This ring, and whenever she needs drugs, I'll be at her beck and call.
She says a word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She says a word and
it's
I will
like
be
a
at
beeper.
Her
beck. It's a beeper.
It's basically a beeper. Yeah. Before there were even beepers, I think, at the time. So really ahead of its time. Yeah. A beeper your pusher is basically what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, solid plan, though, guys. Solid plan, right? From the villain's point of view. He's like,
So thought here.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So common trope in fairy tales, right, is the appearance of a fairy godmother to, like, a Cinderella figure, you know? And you have Elena in this garden crying. This fairy godmother appears. And it's like, if you're a kid... You've seen this story a million times and it always ends up being a good thing. You know, you get to go to the ball.
Yeah.
You are the prince. You become a princess. You marry Prince Charming.
They grant your wishes, whatever that happens
you
to
you get
me.
To do cool
do
shit.
Do cool
then,
shit.
But
yeah.
You get to do cool shit and you get to be somebody other than yourself.
Right.
And that's a good thing.
Which is what drugs are all about, right?
Which is what drugs are all about. Yeah. And so I'm like, I feel like there's just like not really more than a superficial level of thought given to the structuring of any of these PSAs, because they're like,
no, I guarantee it was like the National Education Association or whatever that just mm-hmm. like they just give you money if you are pseudo-educational. So I feel like this was one of those episodes where they're like, hey, do a anti-drug thing and we'll give you all this money. And they were like, all right, we'll just slap some together. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
Yeah, Laura, to your point, there wasn't really any kind of depth or anything to this. There were some fantastically sort of innuendos scattered throughout this episode, which I absolutely loved.
Oh.
I don't know if any...
Do tell.
Oh, well, I think I know what Dave's talking about. Are you referring to some of the scenes in the geyser field?
Oh, definitely.
That are taken completely out of context?
I took them so far out of context. I have written in my notes, God bless Lou Scheimer. Because that's the guy that, you know, obviously came up with this. And
So there is one line where... I forget what character said this, but I think it was Prince Adam. He goes, "Don't move. This won't hurt a bit."
Oh man, I think you should give them a little context for this. So it's illegal.
No context. No context.
Okay, no context.
Let's just literally drop.
Hold on. Just, "Don't move. This won't hurt a bit."
Can I try?
Is that Christian Bale?
"Don't move. This won't hurt a bit." That's at 1.5 speed.
That's 1.5 speed of Sean. I like it. I think, honestly, context makes this even creepier because at this point in this geyser field, kind of triggered by this creepy wizard, the girls who are wearing next to nothing are just passed out stone cold in this geyser field. So for Adam to come up as He-Man, actually, at this point, and he's wearing less than the girls, to say, "Don't move, this won't hurt a bit," was much creepier in that context.
Did you note the second creepy thing that he said?
If you got it, go ahead, because I got three.
I do. So Prince Adam, when after the geyser has erupted and has injured Teela, she is laying on the ground and
unconscious.
Yep. And He-Man tells Alina, he goes, "Move her quickly, but gently."
So
and it. Taken out of context, it is just like,
So at this point, it's He-Man, he's basically,
phrasing.
He's putting both of the girls on Battle Cat, so his massive armored tiger, and he basically says, "Let's go, Battle Cat, quickly, but gently." So yeah, that's exactly what it was. That's another one I wrote down. Another one that I wrote down from Alina, I believe. She says, "Fabulous secret powers were revealed to me." I was like, I bet that they were. I don't know what that wizard did to you in the geyser field, but I bet you that's what happened.
Oh, boy.
There's some creepy stuff going on.
So I think the larger rant that I have about...
Here it comes.
This, here it comes.
Quickly, but gently.
So the larger rant that I have about this is that drugs are a component of this episode, but it's really not at the forefront.
No.
Nor is it the main cause of what it is. I think I want to say the main cause of this, because there sadly is the drug use in here, and there sadly is a little bit of misogyny or a misogynistic attitude.
In a show called He-Man. That's weird.
Yeah, right.
I did not see that coming. Yeah.
I think the bigger problem that I had with this was just self-confidence, and specifically, and I don't want this to come off incorrectly, but just self-confidence in women.
Yeah.
Like, This poor woman, for this Alina, for no reason other than the fact that she had met Teela and she had met Prince Adam, and you know they lived in this wonderful place, she felt insecure. She felt jealous about this, and that's hard. I almost would love if this episode had sort of addressed the problem of having a conversation with somebody and being open and honest with them to the point where saying, like, look, you have these things, and I don't know how to deal with that.
Yeah.
And it's not that I might be a little bit jealous, because that always plays a component in this, but I want to be like you. How can I admire you. You seem like a very wonderful person, and I feel like a better person when I hang out with you. How do I get that more often? And how do I foster that sense with you of friendship and camaraderie? Mm-hmm. And that's what pissed me off. I mean, like, I'll say this. Mm-hmm. The one thing that's really, that I sometimes get very frustrated and on a soapbox is just confidence. The additional soapbox that I'll put on here is confidence in women is very important.
Right.
All right. Like, there is no reason that this woman should at any point in time have felt inferior around another woman who is her friend that she has a history with. And Prince Adam.
See, now I'm going to pause you right there real quick, because if you're going to, I don't care who you are, if you're going to feel inferior against any man or woman, it's going to be against He-Man and She-Ra, basically, because they're like the German, you know, ideal kind of pinnacle of human performance at this point. So I'm kind of okay with her being like, okay, she feels inferior to them, probably because
she doesn't know that Prince Adam is He-Man.
Yeah.
No, I know. But I mean, her thing is more for like, for Teela, right? Because Teela like came in kind of, she didn't really do much.
Teela's a bitch to her. Teela's a bitch to her at several points. You know, at the end, she's like, I just don't understand why you even took a ring from this person in the first place.
And I mean, the drugs came in like what was like a vial, like a test tube vial,
yeah, or something. It was something ridiculous.
Well, and then they do have her go through kind of the tropey thing that we'll see time and again with these, with the drug addictions, is that she does become addicted to it. Her pusher at first gives her like a free taste, and then he asks for favors or things. So of course she turns to deceitful things like stealing. I love Orko. So for people who don't know He-Man, Orko is just kind of this annoying little floating wizard guy who shows up for about 10 seconds in this episode to come in, help her steal something quite easily, and then just leaves, completely trusts her. But yeah, I did like the fact that they kind of like showed that she was having this addiction, and it was because of her lack of self-confidence, and she was being taken advantage of by this wizard, and on and on and on. All those tropes. And Sean, to your point, yes, they do not ever address anything in a mature way whatsoever.
And I mean, I will button this with the idea that she is an attractive woman in this cartoon. Yeah. You know why? Because last night, I got a text message at 10:45 from Dave saying she is hot.
The
and it
end.
Was taken out of context for me. Again, out of context quotes.
Sean like, was like, wait, what? Where are you? Is everything okay?
I had not watched the episode yet.
So it was very confusing.
I had no idea what you were talking about.
Well, and the close of the episode is, you know, He-Man addressing kids and Alina at the same time and basically saying, you know, before you can feel good, you have to feel good about yourself. This is a man who hides his real identity behind a He-Man persona, which he accesses through the use of an external mechanism.
Yes.
I.e. a sword.
Thank you.
A giant dick.
A giant penis lecturing this woman about how she, and the audience by extension, about self-realization. I'm just like, He-Man, look in a mirror.
No, yeah, and that's exactly what drives me crazy about this stuff. It's like they, you know, these characters are drawn as like usually these roided up, kind of like weird hyper ideal versions of what we are supposed to look like. So for me as like a little kid, like I, you know, idols were like Arnold Schwarzenegger and a lot of the action stars. And then obviously for like the cartoons, cause I was a stupid kid, you know, you look to He-Man, you look to these kind of like muscle bound characters and you're just like, oh, okay, that's what I'm supposed to be when I grow up. So I get what kind of Alina was going through at this point, but the, the fact that the show tries to give you a PSA while having all these kind of mixed messages at the same time is just ludicrous. And I found it just absurd. So, I mean, I just kind of laughed at it because of its absurdity. Yeah.
I feel like we have to see like a like we never see vulnerability
now
in He-Man or Teela. Oh, go for
it,
Sean.
There is a moment where Alina is, she's like sitting in her room and she looks distraught.
She's super. Oh yeah.
This is the best example that I have in this of not being able to have an actual conversation with somebody and possible sexism.
Okay.
This pissed me off so fucking much watching this. So Alina is sitting there and looking very distraught.
She's saying, like, I can't believe I would be so stupid.
Yeah, I can't believe, like, she's going through a lot of shit, guys.
Right.
Going through a
she's
lot of shit.
She's in the shit.
She's in the shit. And Prince Adam walks in and says, you know, hey, what's going on? And she's like, I don't want to really get into it. And Prince Adam goes, I quote, I can't help if you won't tell me what's wrong. And then immediately, and I say this immediately, turns around, and the Foley that they use for his fucking feet could not have, it was like a clip-clop, like he bolted out of that room. He bolted out of that room like a guy that was terrified of having a conversation with a woman that was not sexual, that did not end in him getting blown.
Okay.
Like
in the show's defense, we did watch this at 1.5 speed.
He-Man in left profile, He-Man in right profile.
He bolted out of there like somebody had been like, hey, Prince Adam, we're going to go do dude stuff. And he's like, later, bitch. Like, it was so shitty.
But we did watch this at 1.5 speed, so he was only 67% as terrible as he actually was. So if that's any kind of consolation...
A bag of dicks.
Like, he's the one who we're supposed to be looking up to here.
Right, right, exactly. Which, that's the absurdity of the whole thing, and the irony of the whole thing for me is just like, hey kids, I totally take steroids, but don't do drugs. Be like me! Mm-hmm. It's like, wait, hold on, what are you trying to tell me here? do you guys have anything else from this episode of He-Man? Because I know we want to get on to some other stuff as
no,
well, too.
Let's get into this one interstitial that was
it.
Get into Ooh. It. It was the She-Ra and He-Man mm-hmm. Bad Touch vignette.
Yeah. Let's not get into Ooh. This, because this phrasing. This is one that we just kind of like came across, and then we decided to pair these up together because it was such...
This is not drug-related in any way, shape, or form.
Creepy.
This is creepy.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with drugs, but it might make you turn to drugs if someone's giving you the bad touch. It's... So, again, this juxtaposition of you've got these two kind of muscle-bound, idealistic characters in front of you wearing basically no clothing and then talking about kind of your body as a temple and how no one should touch you inappropriately.
Yes, Dave, we have a muscle-bound man in a bowl cut and a bondage harness.
Hey, man, works for the Germans.
But yeah, I mean, it does. It is such a mixed message because if you had a child, if you have a child that dresses like that now, they're going to be potentially chastised for
or arrested, depending on how old they are.
Exactly for over sexualizing themselves, for allowing themselves to be free and comfortable, and that's regardless of body type. Like if it's not flattering on that person, people are going to be even shittier, and that sucks. Mm-hmm. You know, so. Like the fact that these Adonises are standing there telling you that you should feel comfortable about you know your body and that you shouldn't feel shame, like you know, I'm a little bit overweight, but like watching that PSA, I was like, oh, I gotta fucking get to the gym.
But you know, Sean, to your point, I think they try to undercut it a little bit by bringing in this wacky Orko vignette.
He's the worst.
Right?
I'll punch anybody.
I'd punch them if they gave me the bad touch.
It's like, that's good. Like, just conjure up some violence. That's how you want to answer everything.
Yeah. Well, I feel like violence is often the answer in a lot of these PSAs. But also, I felt like it's like I feel like Jar Jar Binks talking about sex crimes.
Yes.
Is like the feeling I got from Orko.
So disturbing.
It's like, I'll punch him. I'm like,
Misa, want to put your dick in me? Like, you're like, get away. Just get away. Or get real close.
Or get real close, Jar Jar.
Quick and gentle.
Quickly, but gently.
If it's consensual, yeah. Get real
Here's
close.
What I want to know. So this is a recurring note that I wrote down for pretty much not all the PSAs, but a good amount. Every one of these PSAs wants me to talk to my rabbi.
Yes.
And I don't know what to do with that.
But I wrote down two recurring.
there's so many rabbis.
There's one. I love the list where they're like, talk to your priest, your rabbi, your minister, your parents, your moms, your dads.
I love
it. Basically, a list of people that are most likely to sexually abuse
exactly.
a child.
The closest relations are often the one with the bad touch.
Yeah.
I just love that he plural. We'll get to that one too. But I love that he pluralized your mothers, your fathers. Wait, what? How many do you have? It's no wonder you get touched all the time. You got all these moms and dads running around.
I can't wait to talk about Captain Lou.
Oh man, we're teasing them, because that is one of the best.
Correctly?
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, Lou Albano.
He's in part two. So,
guys, he was hooked on the brothers for this PSA.
We're teasing part two.
We're just gonna give you a taste. We're gonna give you a free taste.
Oh boy,
are you hooked?
You hooked yet? You hooked on the brothers?
Hey, hey, Dave.
Hey, buddy.
If you are hooked,
yeah.
Why don't you just grease my palm with some cash?
Oh, that sounds so familiar. Is your name Addictum?
It does. It is.
What a name.
The drug dealer's name in the episode of Cops that we watched is Addictum.
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 Fucking
They are not even trying in this.
I think it's just like underestimating the intelligence of children is where we go wrong often.
So one of the notes just to along that same line is that we saw in She-Ra, and we'll see this in the Cops episode, these drugs that they're creating are space drugs.
Oh yeah.
Like they are space drugs, and in very few instances does somebody say like dope or
weed or crack or anything that actually exists in real life. Yeah.
Or anything. And so you're looking at these things and it seems so outlandish and ridiculous because it's not grounded in reality. Right. If you're just like, hey, you want to take some space drugs? You'd be like, well, I've never heard of that. And it's probably not a real thing. So, okay.
So I'm on board. You know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, but the ability to be able to make this relatable to a child, to actually have, again, to have that honest conversation about the problem that's at hand is maddening. When you have these episodes that delve into it, and I'll tease this out.
Delve is a strong word.
Yeah, maybe skim. They skim into it. they dip slightly.
They lightly skate along the
They just walk it past the grill on this. It's very... daintily
tap from afar.
Yeah.
So these episodes, they are barely grounded, these drugs, in any type of reality, and so it does not seem real. And when you're trying to have this honest conversation with these kids, it sounds like you're patronizing them.
Yeah. Well, look, I'll say this. Like, these episodes on a good week are loosely constructed at best. So when they actually try to have something with like a moral message in it, it actually somehow makes it worse when they're trying to be somewhat serious. And so Sean's been talking about this episode of Cops called The Case of the Lowest Crime. Longtime listeners will remember that we actually did mention this on our Cops episode, but we wanted to give Laura a chance to kind of revisit it. So I'm really, really curious about Laura's take on this one, what she took away from it, the zaniest moments that you can kind of remember, and then for us to kind of like actually delve into it a little bit more. So Laura, did you have a chance to check this one out?
I looked at it briefly.
Okay.
as briefly as they touched on the issue.
Yeah.
I skated lightly over this episode. And I just found it interesting, this kind of repeating trope. Okay, first of all, the drug in this episode is essentially like a Bellagio poker, glow-in-the-dark poker chip that you put into your forehead. So... legit.
Yeah. Based on science. Based on crystal science.
Kids will know when they are approached by a drug dealer to say no to that.
That's what's always kind of driven me crazy about these fictional ones. It's like, okay, so the kid that's watching Cops is like, okay, I say no to Crystal Twist. The kid that's watching Brave Star, okay, I say no to Twist. But then somebody comes up and they're like...
Was it Spin?
Or Spin, yeah.
Spin.
Yeah, and the one that's like Spark.
Yeah, and then say no to Spark. He's like, okay, Crystal Twist, Spin, Spark, got it. And then you come up and you're like, hey, you want some, you know, some E, you want some crap, whatever. You're like, oh yeah, I haven't seen PSAs on those, so I'm totally cool. Let's do it.
Yeah. I kind of felt like this episode of Cops, and I said this to Sean, is like the missing sixth season of The Wire. Mm. You know, because you've got like the good for nothing nephew from the season with the dock workers.
Right?
Yeah.
You've got the cops, right?
And the crooks.
And you've got the and the crooks, and they all come together. Well, this is a trope we see in another episode of bad guys and good guys.
All coming together.
Coming together to fight.
I love that. It's a great team up episode.
He's like, I love crime, but I hate drugs.
Yeah, that was the...
Look,
I love crime just as much as the next person, but drugs is where I draw the line.
Oh, thanks, big boss.
Oh, God.
Bring in the hookers.
Yeah, right? Exactly. That's what I wrote down. I was like, even Big Boss wouldn't sell drugs.
Woman, but
I was like, yeah, but murder and theft, totally fine.
Wait, hold on. I would have paused it to still this. Yeah, I'll shoot a cop, but I won't sell drugs. You fucking maniac. You fucking
Look, I also
sick
wrote
maniac.
Down, this is basically, this is like exactly like The Godfather in this one incredibly narrow instance. Where it's just like the Godfather's like, no, I won't do drugs. Anything else you can bring in, murder, theft, gambling, prostitution, everything else is totally on the table. No drugs.
One of the things that has shocked me in both in this episode that we're doing now, but in the two previous episodes I've done with you guys, it's like the level of sociopathic behavior that is deemed acceptable in children's cartoons.
Exactly. Violence.
It's wild.
Anything
goes.
Some
of these episodes that we're going to talk about, it's sort of like killing someone is seen as a reasonable alternative to like doing a mild hallucination.
Right, exactly. Or any kind of like recreational drug or even just like alcohol, which we don't really delve into all that much with these. But Yeah, it's like things that are available legally are still like villainized compared to actually being a villain. Yeah. It's just so bizarre.
Well, I'm personally delving into alcohol right
you
now.
You and me both, Laura. You and me both.
Way below the surface, getting in.
Yeah, we really did a good job of picking out the drug PSAs and episodes. Not so much the alcohol ones.
I wonder why that is.
I really think that the only alcohol one that I can remember to date has been the one at the end of Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yes.
And
with drunk robots.
It was such a flash in the pan. It happened, and that's my problem with these PSAs is that they don't give the actual issue the time and the merit that it deserves. Mm-hmm. These things happen at the end of an episode, and they are sometimes 20 seconds long, right. And it is done so quickly that it just doesn't fucking matter.
Look, I will say, of all the things that we watch, there is one that actually has like a serious oh shit moment.
Well,
in the message,
this is the one that let's get into.
Well, no, we won't. I don't think we get this one until part two. Until part two.
I don't know. Are you talking about the Snake Man PSA?
Oh, no, but we can definitely get to those PSAs. I'm talking about like the actual episode. There's one episode of a cartoon that we've covered previously where there's like some legitimate serious shit that happens to a person who gets addicted. But we're going to tease you with that when we're not getting to it yet. However, we are going to talk more drugs and more PSAs. Sean, I heard Snake Man?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
We watched a live-action PSA called Snake Man, and it asserts that all drug dealers are snake people, and I don't know if this is some way, shape, or form related to the idea of like a snake oil salesman trying to sell you something that isn't really worth your time.
I just think it's supposed to be scary. I mean, if we could have actually watched it in something that was better than 280. It's basically just to set up the context. So like Sean said, it's live action. It's a black guy, correct? Am I correct? Okay. Who is just like, he's talking to the camera and he's kind of like talking to you as a kid watching this. And he's just like, hey, I got whatever you need. And if you want to feel good, you should definitely try the stuff that I have. And you can totally trust me because I'm just like all your friends and I'm just like your brothers and you know me. And he's kind of like...
To their credit, though, they do say like pot and cocaine.
Yes, actual
and
drugs, not Crystal Twist, not Spin, not Spark. Drugs. Right, actual drugs that you probably have heard about if you're a kid in the world. And he's kind of like walking, you know, across the street and kind of getting closer and closer towards the camera as he's going. And he kind of like, he does this sort of like Texas switch kind of thing where he passes behind like a light pole or like a wall or something. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you can totally trust me, right? Or something like that. And he comes out and he's just a snake man. Like he's just, his head is just like this weird hooded cobra viper kind of looking thing. And he's supposed to be like very monstrous and terrifying. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that worked on the kids. The note I wrote down while I was drunk watching these last night, is this PSA why I was afraid of black people growing up? And my answer is yes. That was my note to myself.
All right, well, two thoughts
so,
as we
well
move
done,
quickly
PSA.
Away from that joke. Yeah. Two thoughts on this. One, turning into a snake, possibly very cool to a kid.
Yeah.
Second thing.
Legit.
In what other scenarios in other shows we watch have humans turn into other creatures? Perhaps He-Man.
Yeah.
She-Ra.
Every cartoon.
All the superheroes.
Ever.
Yeah. So.
Hey.
But here it's bad, so I hope kids can draw the distinction.
I apparently could not. I just turned into a distinction.
The distinction.
Nicely done. Nicely done. I just turned into a racist, so that did not work for me. And then I did all the drugs.
No.
Speaking of drugs, we got one more PSA to wrap this one up. One does have, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but was this kind of open-ended here? I could not find a conclusion to this one.
I didn't know if this was a part of a larger episode.
I felt like it was, but I couldn't find it. So I don't know what happened at the end. So, ladies and gentlemen, I apologize, but you're probably going to have to seek this one out for yourself because we don't know how this ends. But if you're a fan of Gem and the Holograms, perhaps you remember this little Gem and the Pill Poppers PSA that we have here. So
Laura, you wanna set this up
please
for
do.
Us, Laura?
All right. Well, as
do it, Laura.
First of all, I feel like I'm being patronized, being the lady introducing the lady cartoon. All
right, I'll do it.
No. Let me take my moment in the sun.
Oh boy.
So, we have a character who is walking into her bedroom, and she's like, "Oh, he told me I could take one of these, and I would write the best music ever." And then she sort of like has a little bag. She takes one pill out. She pops it. She's like, I'm not feeling anything yet. And then shit starts to get freaky. It's her lunchbox that she's put the drugs back into.
Right. As
turns
you do.
Into a rainbow-colored bird that flies off. She's like,
her guitar what? Turns into what?
Like a spider monster.
Yeah.
Oh, but what happens first is she sits down. She's a musician. We don't really have any context for who she is, but
nor do I want
no.
any.
No. It's,
nor
it's do I great want without
she
it.
She sits down
given
on the bed.
Zero fucks about this woman.
Right. So you're just like, all right. She sits down, picks up the guitar, strums it. And she's like, I've never heard that chord before.
Just completely tripped out of her mind at this point.
I feel like I'm watching Keith Richards' Method. Like,
look, and I made a note for this too. So obviously, this is Jem and the Holograms. We'll get to Jem in a second,
yes.
but
this was not a regular Jem character.
No, it was
this,
some side character.
She's just random.
Some side chick, random girl.
Yeah, she's just a side. Yeah. She's one of Jem's side.
Yeah, just side chick. You know how it is.
Little bit of a side piece.
Yeah.
And so her lunchbox kind of turns into a bird. Her guitar turns into a spider. And then she's, like, convinced she can fly.
Yeah.
And so she's doing, this wild-eyed freak out that you see in all these shows where it's, like, one pill popped once.
Yep.
She's like, I can feel free! I can fly like a bird!
And she was basically Jenny from Forrest Gump before that ever happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yep.
She gets out. She comes to the window. And she's just like, I'm going to fly. And she comes out, and she's wild-eyed. She's ranting. She said, time for Laura Holloway to fly. and then you have Jericho
right.
coming out. She's like, no, don't jump. And to create, like, tension.
Was that not... I held my breath during the next 10 seconds. I was like,
she's like, don't jump, Laura. Don't jump. She's like, you have 10 seconds. And then she does her own countdown.
Right.
Like 10, 9. And Jericho's running.
I was through the house.
Yeah.
I'm like, my heart was pounding.
I was like, oh my God.
And then Jericho gets up on the ledge. And I was like, don't. No, she will pull you down with her.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was a little bit freaked out. I thought Jericho did not really have great skills, but
Jericho's
I guess you're
not a great negotiator.
You're untested in these negotiations, right? I mean, Jericho's a civilian. She's not somebody who's been trained in these kinds of things.
Good point.
She's just doing the best that she can, although she does have magic earrings.
Yes.
And I wonder if this is not a situation in which you might touch your earrings and be like, Synergy, can you give me a net for this bitch?
Yeah.
Right?
Now, I gotta ask, maybe I watched a different one,
right.
but... Did we see what happened to her afterwards? Because the last thing I saw was her just jump off the roof, and that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Because I have...
And that almost feels like it's a cliffhanger for this part one of the PSA.
25-year-old cliffhanger.
Right? No spoilers here.
What happened?
But I had two other real quick notes on that one. I was like, okay, so one, obviously this is Jem and the Holograms, the rock concert, the rock band, right? So I was like, yeah, drugs have totally no place at rock concerts, laser light shows, or in the music industry. So great, great time for a PSA for this. I also loved when Jericho runs up and sees Laura on the roof, like, I've got to fly. It's time for Laura's time to fly. And she just goes, Laura, get back inside. Like she was yelling at her like a grandma out on her porch.
I loved Jericho gets to the door. And it's locked to the room where Laura is.
Right.
And then she just kind of like taps it lightly with her elbow and it just flies.
Pops out right in. Yep.
It's like, oh man.
So good.
But I feel so to give it its due,
mm-hmm.
this mystery clip.
I want to say first and foremost, if it sounds like we are joking about this before, as Laura gets into it, we are a little bit because unfortunately we don't really have the proper context for this.
Right.
If this PSA drops you in the middle, like, you know, in medias res, as we are thinking that it does, this is insane.
It's crazy. And we may be getting angry emails about the Laura Holloway suicide episode.
I will take it.
After this airs.
I will take emails
Dave,
at this point.
Dave, get ready. You know, I do think, you know, Sean made the point earlier about the He-Man episode, about the sort of this... very weird interpersonal behavior you know, like this kind of the unrealistic kind of nature and of sort of the realistic nature of sort of this female insecurity, but also the lack of kind of dialogue among friends. I do think that, you know, this brief clip showed us, I think, a bit of urgency. I mean, very silly drug trip.
Right. Yeah.
But I could really feel the urgency from Jerrica to about what's going on with her friend. Why is her friend up there? And really, I mean, the countdown, it's like such a cheap trick, but it really works because, you know, yeah,
it did.
Yeah. And I was like, I really hope she gets there in time.
Yeah. And I guess we'll never know. So, I mean, listeners out there, if you know what happened to Laura Holloway, if she took her final trip, be sure to write in. Let us know. Unfortunately, that's... Yeah, go ahead, John. No, go ahead. One last quick...
I'm going to assume she fell like that potted plant.
Oh, God.
I hope not. I really hope not, but I'm making the assumption.
We will find out. Maybe we'll do another drug and PSA episode. We'll do some research on that.
Boy.
But unfortunately, right. For now, we've got to wrap it up for this week. We will be back with our part two, where we get a little bit, I don't know if we get more serious. One of the episodes definitely has some heavy moments, which we will talk about. But fortunately, that's going to be next time. So until then, Sean, where can we find you on social media? And what do you have coming up in the next couple weeks you want to tell the folks about?
You can find me at Sean Paul Ellis on Twitter and Instagram. And Laura and I are going to be performing at Washington Improv Theater at Source Theater on 14th Street in between S&T. It is, I believe it's a free show on Tuesday, Ooh. May 19th.
Mm-hmm. The first taste is free.
Yeah, the first taste is free.
We'll get you hooked. Yeah.
And I think the show starts at 10 o'clock?
9 o'clock?
9 o'clock. 9 o'clock show.
Excellent.
So you can find more information on witdc.org.
Cool. We'll have that up on the website. Laura, where can the folks find you if they want to follow along with your shenanigans?
Dave, they can find me on Twitter at Lura. It's an intoxicating blend of comedy, my day job, and random shit.
You had me at intoxicating.
And it is spelled Lura.
Yeah, get it right.
Get it right.
Get it right, Sean. Get it right, Dave, taking notes.
And Sean is spelled Shawnn.
Yeah, second N's important. Hey, Dave, where can I find you on the interweb?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at DrClawMD, and that's Dr as in DR, MD as in MD. You can also find us at Morning Tunes. You can find us on our website, SaturdayMorningCartoons.com. Remember, that's morning with a U. Check out Sean's handiwork. I need to see all of these PSAs and perhaps some more. Over at our Tumblr page, which Sean, you know, graciously takes care of for us, SaturdayMorningCartoons.tumblr.com. Please, please, please send us your emails, suggest PSAs that we can cover the next time, or give us an answer on the Laura Holloway question, SaturdayMorningCartoons@gmail.com. That's going to be about it for tonight's show. We will be back next week with part two, where we tackle some more drug and alcohol PSAs. So thanks for joining, and we'll see you next time.